All right. Hey, we're back. Another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam. I'm here with my friend Michael Creed. And you guys are in for a treat today. We're going to talk about why dad bods are stupid. Right? Well, okay. So fitness, health, nutrition, discipline, accountability, all of that stuff. And probably more. We'll just see where the conversation goes. But I want to do that. I think this is really important. And I think there's some guys I know in our circles, probably you know too, that deeply love the Lord. They're strong men of Christian faith, great character, but they kind of like, they don't place a really high value on their physical health. Mm-hmm. And they have reasons for that are oftentimes like spiritual reasons. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's vanity, right? It's just, or I don't have time for that. I'm too busy trying to, you know, be a good father, a good husband. So they have excuses and sometimes spiritual excuses for not taking care of themselves physically. And I've even had one guy look at me like, it's going to turn back to dust. Why are you so preoccupied with physical health and exercise and stuff like that? And my rebuttal is, yeah, but then it's going to be resurrected. Like, the body matters. The Lord died to give us a resurrection, and we should take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit that we have here and now. It does matter. And everything to the spiritual, everything spiritual.
Sure.
I really believe that. And I think you can approach these things with a God-honoring heart. And I just get a little bit tired of people who kind of write it off as unimportant for spiritual reasons. So,
yeah.
Are you ready to dive in, Michael Creed?
I am.
Why don't we do this first, though? Because you've been on a couple other episodes, but it was before we got into the studio.
Yes.
I had a YouTube channel. So you guys should check out some of these past episodes on Apple and Spotify, because we talk about finances. Mm-hmm. What else do we talk about? I think there's one other. There's two episodes I think you were on, weren't
there, you? There's been two. And yeah, one of them was faith, fitness, and finance. And actually, I don't remember the title of the other one either.
It must have been good.
It was so good. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Michael's one of the main sponsors of the show. Michael is in mortgage lending, and Claire and I, in our real estate career, love working with you and your team. But more than what you do and how you serve people so well in business, I just have gotten a little bit of an inside look at your lifestyle. And I've seen the way you take care of yourself, the way you prioritize your family, the way you're disciplined, and the way you value health. So this is going to be a fun conversation.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. First of all, give us a little bit of an introduction and a personal background about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm 46, and I am in the mortgage business, as you said, and I've done that my entire professional career. Yeah. I have a wife. We were married in 2001, so that puts us at 24 years right now in marriage, and then two kids. Maddie is about to be 22, and Eli will be 18 soon, so we're staring empty nesters straight in the face.
Holy smokes.
Maybe grandparents at some time, and then fairly near future too, because one of those is children, adults, are engaged as well.
Whoa. So when's the wedding?
No date planned yet, but she's going to finish college first.
Yeah. All right, cool. Wow. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. And I think actually what we're going to talk about today is part of the reason why I feel okay with it. Like, I'm ready for this next phase of life. I'm in the right space mentally, physically, spiritually, all the things for this next phase.
How'd you get there?
Well, by being intentional about it, which is what I'm sure we'll walk through today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what does it look like for you on a day-to-day basis? What are your rhythms for keeping in shape? Why is it even important to you?
Yeah. So a normal day for me, I work out 8 times a week, which might sound crazy, but it's only 4 days typically. And sometimes I'll get a fifth day in there, but it's just a lifting session in the morning. And then I'll typically get some sort of evening session, whether that be mobility, even HIIT training, that kind of stuff, just something to kind of like wrap up the day at the night. So I work out lifting at home in the morning, and then I'll usually go to Lifetime in the evening right after work, because it's close to my office, before heading home. But once in a while, like today, I did it all this morning because I have a crazy day. I'm actually flying out this evening to Grand Rapids for a board meeting. And so it's just a weird day, but it still happens. I just shifted everything around to make it happen. So, you know, we're sitting here talking about 9 a.m. and I have worked about a half an hour so far, but the rest of the morning since getting up at 4:30 has been taking care of a morning routine and getting that physical fitness in. And normally there'd be a Bible study too, but that did not happen today.
So if anyone has an excuse to not prioritize this. As a dad, as a business owner, as a busy, hardworking man, you would seem to have all the excuses in the world to not prioritize working out regularly. And
correct.
And yet, you just gave us an example. Like, you're getting up early and you're going after
it. Make it happen. I mean, it has to be. So the big reason for the reason that I do what I do is because I feel the best, which means I can then perform the best for myself, for my family, for my clients, for our business partners, for my team. Like, yeah. I can't feel like garbage all the time. Like, that's just it. That's where I think I've gotten to the point where I have to do this, right? It started out, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about vanity later, I believe, but it started out that way. I mean, my mom is she built vanity into us because she's very concerned about her looks still to this day. Okay. And so there's that built in, but I learned through that process that it's one, not worth it, because vanity isn't a motivating factor to look good isn't a motivating factor to get you out of bed in the morning. It's not to get me out of bed in the morning anyway. Mm-hmm. But to feel good and to be able to be the best that I can be and that I'm called to be, through taking care of my body, through the physical activities, as well as eating properly most of the time. It's not perfect. None of us are. That's why, because I know what it feels like to feel good. And yeah. I want to feel that way.
Do you get up at 4:30 every day?
No, 5:30 every day.
5:30, yeah. Slacker. You're sleeping until 5:30.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you have a routine. How did you develop that routine?
Yeah. So I was working with a coach actually for a while, who's a performance coach. That's what he does. His coaching is, I don't remember the name of it, but he's a performance coach. That's what he does. He's not a business coach. He's not a mind coach or whatever. It's all about performance. And so we really try to optimize our performance. And one of the things that he told me, he asked me about my sleeping and about snooze and the snooze button. Cause I always had this idea that I'd get up at 5 AM or 5:30 or whatever, but I was telling him I hit snooze a lot, and he's like, wow, that's a really good way to tell yourself you're not worth waking up today. And I was like, oof. Whoa, that's a little blunt, but it's true. You know, this idea, and really got into this way of not, like, no snooze anymore. It's not okay, because the reality is what he showed me through his example was you're hitting your snooze button from 4:45 to 5 or whenever that was going off until 5:30 when you're actually getting up. And if you add up how much sleep you're not getting because of you allowing yourself to, like, interrupt it for that half hour, 45 minutes, it was so much sleep in a month, let alone a year. And so there's a pretty hard, fast rule now in my life about when the alarm goes off, I get up, right? Yeah. So I set it for when it needs to be, not for when I need to, like, fight it for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and just get up and go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you said oftentimes you're doing two workouts a day, or at least 4 days a week.
Yep.
You're going to do two workouts. And so you get your first workout in early.
Yes.
And you get a second workout in then when?
Usually after work. So 5:30, 6 o'clock is usually when I get over to Lifetime. Mm-hmm. And then that's about an hour. It's always a sweat session in the evening. It's a great way to just let go of the day as well. Like, it's just as much about the mind as it is about the body for me, because the businesses that you and I work in, they're stressful. There's so many curveballs that are thrown. It's so much emotions. We're helping people with the largest transactions of their life. And that can really build up over time. And so that... The morning is, like, you know, low sweat. It's lifting heavy weights and usually lower reps, just grinding it out, listening to some great jams or a podcast, and then, you know, feeling good about that. But the evening is intentionally high intensity, sweaty kind of stuff to really just reset before I get home.
What do you say to the guy who's gonna hear that routine and say, yeah, I don't have time for that?
Yeah, so that's a great point. And you probably don't have time for it. And maybe your kids are younger. I didn't have this routine when my kids were younger. I worked out 4 or 5 days a week early before they got up, and that was it. You know, where I'm living now, I mentioned earlier, the age of my kids, it's kind of easy. They're self-sufficient. They drive. They have their own jobs. Usually I'm not even getting home. I'm getting home before my son many nights of the week, even though I am doing that. Or if he gets home before me, it's only a few minutes. Yeah. And, you know, so we're in that phase of life. But that's the whole time thing is, in my opinion, an excuse. We have to be really careful about carving out those important things. And our families need us to take care of our bodies, because that's how we can best be the dads that we're called to be, and the husbands too.
Yeah.
Right. So it has to be a priority. We can't say we don't have time. I'd guarantee you we have time. We just need to sit down and find it. Like, log the day. You'll find the time. Easy.
What do you mean by log the day, though? Some guys won't. They've never done that.
What
does that look like?
Write down every 15 minutes for a week. It's tedious, so tedious. But writing down just every day for a week, every 15-minute increment, and start to pay attention to what you do. You know, you might think, like, I'll give you an example. I was working on a reel the other day. So I have social media people that typically help me with this stuff, but I thought I'd do one on my own. I'm like, it'll only take 5 minutes. And I did it in a rest set while I was lifting. And my point here is about awareness. So I'm like, 5 minutes, no big deal. Well, my watch the whole time was counting how many seconds I had been resting. And it took what felt like, you know, this 30-second reel. I've recorded it. I edited it. It was very easy and quick and fast. I thought 5 minutes. It was 27 minutes that I was resting.
Oh.
You know, and so the log helps create an awareness of exactly where our time is going. Are we taking too long? Does it take us longer than we think to do something? You know, what I think is really common is, are we watching too much television? Are we, you know, 3-4 hours a night of TV? You know, that really adds up. Imagine what it would look like to just sacrifice an hour of watching television to work on your body 5 days a week. You'd have massive changes in your body in a short amount of time. But it starts with awareness, which is what the log would do.
Yeah, and that's what gets me, because guys who have said, wow, 2 workouts a day. I don't always do 2 workouts a day, but I sometimes go through seasons or months, especially if I'm training for something specific. And guys will say, that's intense. That's weird. And
sure.
I think, you know what's weird? Watching 2 hours of Netflix every night.
Mm-hmm.
Or scrolling on social media for an average of 2 or 3 hours a day. Like, I think that's weird, but we don't call that weird. That's normal. That's how you just unwind after a long day.
Sure.
Like, no, it shouldn't be the case. And I think too many guys are just satisfied being like normal, just looking like the rest of the world. And mostly I'm speaking to guys in the church.
Sure.
And that's what gets me so frustrated sometimes. I've said it before on this podcast, how our church potlucks are some of the most unhealthy feasts I've ever seen in my life.
Sure.
Yet we're supposed to be a people who claim that the body is a temple and we should take care of it accordingly. And we dismiss exercise and health and nutrition sometimes for spiritual reasons. So
100%.
Let me ask you this. You've got a whole outline here, and I'm more of a conversationalist. So I want to give you a chance to like take a glance at that and tell me where you think we really need to go in this conversation. What's the highest priority to you?
Yeah. So I want to hit awareness and then we're going to come back to that. So the reason I pulled my phone up for those that may be watching on video, I wanted to look at my screen time today because I felt like I haven't really looked at social media at all today. But according to my phone, I've spent 25 minutes on it already today.
Ouch.
So that's very interesting to me. Where I don't even know where those 25 minutes were, but that's what I'm saying. Like, even someone who's intentional about it, 25 minutes already today, it's in the morning, and I've been on social media for that according to my phone's screen time app that was just telling me that, right? So
yeah.
I have limits on that stuff, so it'll alert me if I get to an hour, because that's, to me, that's what my limit is, and thankfully I don't hit that often, the reminder.
Yep.
But an hour a day is still, what would that be, 7 hours a week, right? And what does that go? I'm sorry, I'm not doing math this morning. But it's a lot. It's days of our life that we would be doing in a year's time, right? So just keeping that in mind. So as far as the conversation is concerned, you know, to your point, I think that, you know, one of the things that came up a handful of times, you've already mentioned it, it's in the outline too, around like vanity and being God-honoring and saying, hey, you know, it's vain. And it maybe it is. Maybe there's a little bit of that for us. We want to just look good, right? Because that's what we're kind of, you know, we're married. We don't need to attract any. But before that, you know, guys are really interested in making sure that they're in great shape because they're trying to find a mate, right? Trying to find that spouse and figure that out. And then we let it go. And, you know, I was actually just having a conversation with my wife yesterday about how I've seen some guys who have really upped their game and their physique in like the last few years. And their wives typically follow along with that as well, which is interesting, maybe because they're worried about, you know, not being up to par. I don't know. But there's a vanity piece to it for sure, like what you were saying, that can be challenging. But at the end of the day, like you described, our bodies, the Bible tells us our bodies are the temple for the Holy Spirit. We do have that resurrection as well, which we don't know whether we're going to be in this new beautiful body or if we're going to be in the current state, right? Whatever that is. We don't know. I don't know that we know that, do we? Does the Bible tell us like we're having the exact same body, or is it a resurrected body?
Oh, it doesn't give a lot of details.
That's
but
what I thought.
When you look, I think Jesus being the firstborn of the dead is kind of our, that's our resurrection prototype. So we're going to have a body. There's got to be some sort of recognizability compared to before and after. I mean, Jesus had the scars.
Scars, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think some theologians much smarter than I have written pages and pages about it.
Yeah.
But and it's fun to read. I think what we're really supposed to take away from it is like our body isn't destined to just turn back to dust.
Yep.
It's actually, for those who are in Christ, destined for a resurrection.
Yep.
So care for it accordingly. And that applies not just to, that applies to sexual conduct.
Mm-hmm.
That applies to just your outlook on life, your outlook on all of creation being made new after, you know, the refining fires of destruction. And we're going to be made new.
Right.
Our bodies will have a resurrection. All of creation will be made new.
So if we look at what you just described, right, which is that we know that we saw the scars on Jesus's hands after he was resurrected.
Right.
You know, and we know that there will be no disease at that point. So we have a new body, but it's a new, really healthy body. But at the same time, it is the old body, which is even more of an argument around taking care of it right now.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
You know, I look at it, I described this already earlier, is that is like, how do I feel now? Like right now, I'm living now. Like I am supposed to be living now. God has me in this moment, in this room, in the next room, and in the next room. Intentionally, like I have to live there. So thinking about it from like this dust perspective doesn't make sense to me personally.
Yeah.
So I have to look at it this way. When we take it to the next step and be like, okay, well, let's not just look at the present, the here and now, but what is it going to look like in the future when we're resurrected? Then there's all the more reason to like get this thing in shape.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. And I, speaking of vanity, I think it's really sad that guys who I knew when we were in our teens and 20s were really excited to like, man, I want to stay in shape. I want to look sexy for my future wife. And now you see them 20 years later,
mm-hmm.
now that they have the wife and they have the kids, they let everything go.
Sure.
Like, well, what does that tell you? That, I think that's, I don't think there's vanity in wanting to look good for the woman of my dreams, my soulmate who I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. I'm in a covenant with it. I don't think it's vanity for me to want to be able to play with my kids and my future grandchildren. And so that's where I'm like, no, I don't care about how big my biceps are, but I do care about the fact that I can run, jump,
yep.
lift and move and wrestle. I am so excited to be able to continue to, you know, wrestle around on the floor with my future grandkids.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that I can lift up my wife, dance with her, sweep her off her feet, literally, not just figuratively.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's important. I take a little bit of, it's really serious for me that I would be able to have some ability to protect those that I love as well. And I don't always think, I don't let my mind go to dark places, but I'm like, hey, would I be able to fend someone off if they tried to physically attack the ones I love?
Sure.
Or would I have a beer belly and a bad back and inflexibility and I haven't lifted anything? Like that just... that doesn't sound like I'm taking my responsibilities as a man before God very seriously.
Sure.
Because it's vanity. Come on, that's a bunch of crap.
True. It's also difficult, right? Working out is not easy most of the time. I mean, it does get a lot easier.
Right.
And it gets to the point where you actually, I crave it. Like I was just telling, I took a few days off because we had skied and I told Lynn, I lifted for yesterday, I lifted for the first time this week because the weekend was pretty aggressive. We were skiing in 45 degrees weather. It was hard. Skiing in slush is hard.
Yeah.
So I took some time away, but it felt good to get back to lifting.
Yeah.
But I want to ask a question here about this that I think is something to think about. So this idea of looking amazing to find our future wife, and then we get the wife and we go away, like Lynn and let our bodies go. Lynn and I have, and we maybe use excuses like kids or other commitments or whatever that might look like.
Work.
But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we can be intentional about if our job, you know, has a desk job, make it so that you have a desk stand job, right? It's not that hard. You can get stuff to make it so that you can be moving all the time. You know, there's so many things that we can do if we just want to sit down and actually want to do it. But Lynn and I've had this conversation a few times because I we've talked about this. Like I want to look good for her, but I also want her to look, I want to enjoy looking at her as my wife, right? So like, how do you say this? I expect you to take care of your body as well. Not that, like, that's really cocky, but let's think about it from this way. Like, guys, do you want your wife to continue to look attractive to you? The answer most guys are going to say is
Yes.
100%. Well, then why aren't you doing the same for her, right? Like, at exactly. the end of it all, it's a difference in it, it's just play your part, right? Like, yeah. do that part of it. Like, that's the thing. Now, if you both have together decided that you don't care that much and that's how you want to do it, that's a different story. But I think if most guys are honest, they're going to say that they want their wife to still look sexy to them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's their job to also do that for her.
That's right.
Our yep. jobs.
Yep. Right? 100%. And I don't, my dad actually, I'll just, instead of going negative, I'll go positive. My dad is a great example for this. In this area, my dad's 60, what is he now? 65? I got to count here. Yeah, he's 65, turning 66 this year. A year ago, he did a Tough Mudder with me and my brothers.
Cool.
10K. Run, I mean, and he trained for it. And I told some of my other friends, they're like, no way, your dad's in his mid-60s, didn't do enough Tough Mudder? I'm like, heck yeah. He was excited to do it. And he did it. He totally finished it. And there was one point in the run where he's like, hey guys, can we adjust the tempo a little bit? I didn't get my cardio in like I probably should have. But he was lifting weights. He was going on runs. He was stretching. He was preparing for it. He's also a contractor. He's climbing extension ladders. The other day, he helped me replace our water heater. And those yep, things are heavy.
They are.
He's lugging it up and down the stairs with me. And he's just a really handy dude. But he also exercises regularly and stays in shape. And I know he's been through some injury. I know he's had every excuse to, like, I'm on my feet all day. I want to come home and have a couple beers and just lift up my feet on the recliner and watch TV. But he doesn't. He picks a new adventure. Oh, I'm yep. doing a 5K. Oh, I'm going to do this Tough Mudder. And that's a really good example for me because he was always a very active dad for us growing up, always ready to throw the baseball or the football around in the backyard. I saw him do his first half marathon in his mid-40s. And that to me is not an example of vanity. And my dad's not a large buff dude. He's 5'9", 150 soaking wet.
Sure.
You know, but he just enjoys moving around and he's a capable guy. Yep. He's capable. I mean, like anybody who can in your mid 60s help your son replace a water heater and run a Tough Mudder. And so that to me has inspired me, not with vanity, but with capability.
Yep.
And with a God honoring sense of like, hey, as long as I'm in this body on this side of heaven, I want to be able to move around. I want to be able to do what God's called me to do. And I want to have minimal health injuries holding me back from serving the ones I love, being able to protect the ones I love and helping the people around me do stuff and enjoying going on hikes with the grandkids and such. And so I see that in my dad. And I think that's inspired me throughout my whole life, even when he was younger. Like I looked at other dads. I'm like, man, your dad gets winded just like playing 5 minutes of basketball with you.
Yep.
My dad is, you know, training with me for football season coming up, you know? And I just was like, I want to be that kind of dad.
Right.
Just in the back of my mind, I knew that as a teenager. This is the way, Adam. This is a good God-honoring example. So there's no vanity in that. When I look at that, I just see a loving desire to be able to serve the people around you. Hey guys, I want to take a minute and give a huge shout out. Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters out there. Without you guys, this show's not even possible. And it allows us to do some cool swag stuff like this mug right here. We're coming up with hats, t-shirts, things like that. But more importantly, we're going to be releasing some exclusive content that's only for our Patreon supporters. You're not going to want to miss that. So if this show has been any encouragement to you whatsoever, you guys got to get on patreon.com/forgingthepath. As little as 10 bucks a month, every dollar helps. Go there today and check it out. If you or anyone you know is thinking about buying a home or refinancing the home that you're already in, you got to reach out to Michael Creed and his team today. I've been in real estate for over 10 years now, and I can tell you there's no one better when it comes to the lending side of things than Michael Creed and his team. They take time to get to know every client. They treat every transaction like it's the biggest one of their lives. They give them all the options, educate them every step of the way, and they guide everyone to a really successful closing. We love working with Michael Creed and his team. So once again, if you're thinking about buying a house or refinancing, you need a great lender, talk to Michael Creed and his team today. You can text them at 262-696-9048. Tell them that Adam from Forging the Path sent you. They'll take great care of you. We all know that real estate is the single best investment. It outperforms almost every other option in the long term. And my wife and I, we've been in real estate for over a decade, and we love helping people sell and buy homes. When it comes to the selling side of the equation, our goal is to help you sell your home for the most amount of money with the least amount of stress. And when it comes to buying, we want to help you find that dream home that has everything you need it to have without overpaying. And our goal is to make the whole process, whether selling or buying, really smooth and a great experience for everyone. So if you or someone you know are thinking about buying or selling a home in the near future, reach out to Zastrow Family Real Estate. You can look us up online, or you can call or text me directly, 262-725-2855. And by the way, we're powered by a great company, Realty Executives Integrity. If you're thinking about getting in real estate, or maybe you're already in real estate and you want to take your business to the next level, let me know, because Realty Executives is the best of the best.
Yeah, that's a great point. And maybe that's part of the conversation that you know, the reflection that guys need to have as they're figuring this out for themselves too, is what's the examples that were set for them? Because when I think back to my grandfather, I didn't know my dad's dad very well. He passed away pretty early in my life when I was less than 10. He wasn't a healthy guy, though I know that for sure. And heart attack is what got him, you know. So not in shape. That whole family, that whole side of the family has definitely struggled with that stuff over time. There's no doubt about that. On my grandma's or my mom's side, my grandfather, he also passed away pretty early, but he was in around my teens, like late teens, and he was a farmer, and he was always active and always going. You know, and my dad was pretty active too. When he got older, he let himself go, like after the kids were older, there's no doubt about that. But when he was younger, he would go cross country skiing with us. We'd go regular skiing. We'd play outside a lot. I mean, trampoline, all the stuff, you know. I remember that even, you know, in teenage years. So you're right. This idea of the guys ahead of us in our lives, I think it's important, because maybe if we look at like guys maybe feeling overwhelmed about like what to do because there's nothing going on, and they look back at the people ahead of them and there's no example of what this looks like,
yeah,
then what I'm talking about can sound really overwhelming and also critical and judgy, right? And that's not the point here at all. I want to be critical and judgy about wasted time, you know, particularly around like television and those types of things and social media, because that's a, you know, knock it off, grow up kind of situation, right? If we're wasting so much of our life in front of that and doing that,
yeah,
you know, but not everybody's going to be in that boat. But yeah, it's the calendar could be chaotic. And then again, to your point of your dad, and when I look back at my family and that upbringing, that there was some of that in the background that was kind of built in, and I just took it to the next step, you know?
Yeah.
So,
man, that's interesting, because, and that's not something that my dad just happened to pick up either, because I have to remember his parents both lived to their late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about a family, like seven kids, but they had a big backyard garden. Every dinner was like meat, potato, veggie.
Yep.
Homegrown. You know, dessert was a rare treat. Mm-hmm. And if there was dessert, it was like a homemade pie, right? And it was just a really healthy way of living. My grandparents gardened their backyard until their 80s, when they kind of couldn't anymore, but they were... My grandma's out there every summer, you know, like mid-80s. I remember her. I have vivid images of like, man, my grandma's older than most of my friends' grandmas, but she's moving and grooving like way more than, and this is wild. And sadly, my mom's side of the family didn't quite have that epitome of health and activity and exercise. And their life expectancy wasn't late 90s. And the injuries and the sicknesses and the diseases that they experienced after the age of, you know, 50, 60 something was way more than on my dad's side.
Right.
So that is interesting to me. And so, yeah, my dad, obviously more is caught than taught. You just kind of, this is the way to be healthy and nutritious. And now I'm benefiting because of the examples now two generations that I can recall.
Yep.
So hopefully we can pass that on to future generations too.
I love that. You know, you brought, just as you were talking, brought up fond memories for me, my great grandparents. I grew up right down the road from them. My great grandfather is actually the only grandfather of mine that lived long enough to make it to my wedding. He outlived both of my grandfathers.
What?
and very active. Like he would use me to like drive the tractor and help split the wood, because he built his house, like literally dug a hole in the ground with horses to build his house. This guy did. Like, it's awesome. A really cool story. But
yeah.
Burning wood was a part of the heating in the Upper Michigan for several of our households, and his was one of them. And he'd get to the point where he would go around and tell me which trees we were going to cut up, and I'd have to do a lot of the work because he couldn't. But he was easily in his 80s at that point, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how old he was, late 90s when he passed, but he made it, like I said, to my wedding, which was really cool. I don't know that he remembered it, but because his mind was gone by that point. But just to know he lived that long is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
and
for
that's the same side of the family that my mom's is, that I'm saying about this. So we're going four generations to me, you know, his to my grandparents, to my parents, to this, to that. So there's a big piece of it. So at the end of it all, if we don't have that lineage, then the cool part about all this is that we can be the change for our family and create that example so that people can be talking, your great-grandkids can be talking like we are right now about this, because that change, the generational change, can happen today. And that's not just in physical fitness, but also in faith as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the title of this show is Forging the Path. So our encouragement to any guy who would say, well, I don't have those examples, I don't have that foundation, well, fix your eyes on Jesus and start forging a path forward for your kids and your future grandkids and great-grandkids. You can, it's not too late.
It's not too late.
You can build something that blesses people down the generational line.
Right.
Where do you want to go from here, Michael?
So, you know, you had asked me a little bit about nutrition and healthy living and what that looks like. And I think an approach for that would be really easy, just from a transparency perspective, is that I'm still figuring that out, right? Like, if you were to do a blood draw on me right now, I bet you my cholesterol's high, for example, because I'm still eating the foods that I want to, right? I'm still eating the red meats. I'm still eating eggs. I'm still eating all the things that can do that, right? So from a medical perspective, they probably would say that that's bad. But I also am intentional at making sure that it's the best stuff, right? It's not the fully processed. I'm typically organic, typically grass-fed. It's not always available. But really making sure to be intentional about that. I've watched my macros for years. I really dialed back on being super crazy about it, like to the point where I'm scaling everything and you know, and really being micro on my macros, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not doing that anymore, but I learned a lot through that process. You know, people would say that's nuts, it's crazy, it's too time consuming to be weighing everything and measuring it all. That is how I got the trimmest I've ever been, was by doing that.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of work, first of all. It's also unnecessarily trim, right? Like you can still be in great shape and have a little bit of body fat on you,
absolutely,
know, right? Like there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it did teach me a lot along the way. And one of the biggest awarenesses that I had was I was just overeating carbs like crazy. You know, 250 to 500 grams of carbs a day, which is a lot for anybody.
Yeah.
A good day for me on a day where I'm working out twice would be like 125 grams of carbs, for example. So that's where my body does the best. So to be aware of just what I was doing and why I was feeling and looking the way that I did and not seeing the results I wanted by tracking the nutrition was that way. So today it's, you know, there's an education around it. It's an educated diet and I'm follow it most of the time. That's the thing too. Like we have to understand it's not going to be perfect. You can't eat out. You can't celebrate. Like you mentioned the potluck, you know, you can pick and choose at the potluck what you're going to eat, right? And be wise about that. But having an understanding of what your body needs and how it works is the most important thing. And what I do is not going to be the same as what you do. We're different builds, we're different metabolisms, there's all these different things. So we have to figure out for ourselves, you know, kind of what is the way to go that way.
Yeah, I would agree. And I honestly don't worry too much about high cholesterol. I think that can be sometimes, in some cases, overrated, although I think for some people who maybe have some family history, things like that, heart disease and whatnot, you want to keep an eye on that stuff. But I think in some ways that's been used to deter people from eating the healthy meat and eggs that our ancestors did for centuries.
Yes.
And I'm just like, stop worrying about stuff like that. If more people ate breakfasts that consisted of steak and eggs, we would overall be healthier, not unhealthier.
Yep.
And so instead, like really, come on, you think a coffee and a scone or a bowl of Fruit Loops is honestly healthier than, you know, speaking of my grandparents again, like that steak and eggs most mornings. And so, yeah, I've never actually even counted my macros. I'm glad that you mentioned it because I think it can be useful for some guys.
Understand.
But I also think anybody listening who's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. You don't have to do that. That's fine.
Right.
But I would encourage you, take a little bit of an honest look at your nutrition.
Yep.
And what would be some baby steps that you would recommend for guys who are like, okay, my nutrition isn't that great, but I don't want to count my macros.
Yep, yep.
So I don't even know what macros are. You guys might be thinking.
That's fine. So macros, real quick, are just protein, carbs, and fat, the three different things, right? So for anybody that might be wondering that. But be aware. To answer your question, to be aware. So we have the breakfast with the scone, right? Like I've done that even now, and it becomes more prevalent now that I'm normally in my routine and if I break it. So we have a coffee and a scone. And what's guaranteed to happen, you might not notice it if you're used to this every day, but if you start to pay attention to the nuances, you will. But if you take your body out of this routine, it becomes very obvious. The coffee will, the half-life of caffeine is about 5.5 hours, so that you're going to have a coffee crash about 5.5 hours after drinking that cup of coffee.
That's right.
And everybody's like, wait, no coffee? No, I'll come back to that in a second. But the coffee crash is real. The caffeine crash is what it is, because the drip coffee is high in caffeine. And then also, that's the other thing too, like in a caffeine perspective, I'll come back to it. Sorry. The other part was important. so we have the scone in the coffee. If you have coffee, your crash is about 5.5 hours later because of the half-life of caffeine. And then that sugar that's in that scone, whether it might not even taste sweet, but because it is flour or some sort of pastry, there's a ton of sugar in there, different types of carbohydrates that will also make you feel really good. So the reason that we have the coffee and the scone is because we go from feeling groggy, probably because we didn't get enough sleep the night before. Or maybe we slept poorly. So I had a glass of wine at dinner last night. My watch reminds me promptly every morning how horrible that is for me because my sleep score is half of what it normally is.
Wow.
It's an insane thing, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we didn't sleep well. Then we wake up and have the cup of coffee. I actually had two glasses of wine. Wake up and have the cup of coffee and the scone. And we get this lift and it feels amazing, right? And so like this has got to be good. However, lunchtime or a little bit after that, we're going for more sugar, more caffeine probably at that point as well, and we're continuing to perpetuate that. The only way to actually understand how bad that is to get out of it, which is hard. It's a sugar craving issue and a caffeine issue, right? So it's very difficult. Once you get out of that space and get into the land where I am right now, because I've been so intentional about this, doing that, it feels horrible.
Yep.
You know, and I just texted Lynn again this morning. I'm like, I'm an idiot. Why did I have wine again? I know better. I know this. Like, I know it's not going to work, but I still do it once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not, it's just affects the sleep so much, right? Sure. So we have to understand that we're going to revert in these areas. But you get into that steak and eggs or whatever kind of breakfast, very high fat, high protein breakfast, you're not going to have that rise up that you would from the coffee and the carbohydrates. But you're going to be much more stable the whole day.
Oh, man.
And it affects everything the rest
of the
day.
It's a game changer.
Right.
Yeah, so, when you eat a breakfast, that's like eggs.
Eggs. I eat eggs in all sorts of different kinds of sausage, depending upon what I'm feeling. Like yesterday was chorizo. You know, today was a smoothie because it was a weird day. But, you know, like that's a normal thing. And even if you want that high carbohydrate, like the scone, fine. But make sure there's a bunch of protein and fat going along with it as well, because otherwise you're just going to have that crash later in the day.
That's right. Yeah. I had a scone this morning. I splurged and I was reminded these don't taste as good as I remember. But it's different when it's like, that's probably my one scone, maybe my second, probably the second scone I've had all year since the new year. That's different. What we're talking about, you and I, is not perfection.
No.
And you can apply that to your workouts. You can apply that to nutrition. You know, I'm a sucker for home-baked cookies.
Yeah.
When my wife makes, or my daughters now, make brownies or cookies, oh, man. But I'm telling you, that's a rarity. So when I do have the Guinness, which is like my favorite, several times a year as opposed to several times a week.
Yep.
Big difference.
Yep.
And sometimes I don't sleep as good and I'm reminded like, oh, that's why I don't drink anymore.
Correct.
Like I used to. But in that moment, I'm like, this is the best tasting thing because I don't have it very often. Mm-hmm. It's so different when you set yourself up for success like that and then you can enjoy the occasional treat.
Right.
And in some ways be reminded of why you don't do it all the time.
Correct.
Like you and your two glasses of wine.
Yes.
I bet in the moment tasted great.
It was good.
And you enjoyed a time with your wife and it was awesome. Right. And then you slept crappy and you're like, okay, I'm probably not going to have wine again for a while.
Yes. But the thing is, I don't know that I slept crappy. Like I don't, you know, like it's not like I tossed and turned. Well, I do. When I woke up in the morning, I did, but it wasn't like it was an awareness. So if you're not paying attention, you wouldn't even know. You know, like if I just looked on the surface, I still got up at 4:30 this morning. We talked about that already, right? Yeah. So like I got up and, you know, whatever. It's the morning. Nobody likes to wake up. Come on. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. But it's a challenge every day to be like, I got to go. This is the thing. That's where the discipline comes in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But just understanding that my heart rate variability, like my body has sent signals to the technology that's on my wrist that it didn't sleep well because my heart rate variability was up. It was under stress from processing that alcohol. So what happened was, yes, I slept, but not as good as I could have.
Uh-huh.
And that's, we need sleep.
Yeah.
You know, that is the one thing that when I don't think I mentioned this clearly when we were talking earlier about the snooze thing, but my coach was going from, you need to go from 6 hours of sleep to 7.5. And I'm like, how am I going to do that, dude? There's not another hour and a half in the day. Yeah. And we bought 45 minutes back just by not hitting snooze. You know what I mean? So that was part of it. Go to bed a little bit earlier and stop hitting snooze. And you I do consistently get that 7 and a half hours of sleep now because of that, which is also a game changer.
Yeah.
So
what we've said on this podcast many times in the past is imperfect action beats perfect inaction.
Yes.
Every time. When we're talking about starting a new discipline or getting back on track with something that you know is healthy, whether it's a morning Bible and prayer time or whether it's your nutrition or maybe it's I need to exercise 3 times a week. I got to start today. Guess what? Like imperfect action is what you should expect.
Right.
Take some, you'll build momentum along the way. Get the idea of perfect out of your head because a lot of times that just paralyzes guys. I don't know where to begin. Or they compare themselves to somebody who's been doing it for years.
Yes.
Somebody listening might say like, well, I can't do what Michael does. I can't do what Adam does. So I guess I'll just stay where I am. And what we would encourage you is maybe consider doing what we started doing 15 years ago.
Yes.
That baby steps. I had little kids. I wasn't working out every day. I wasn't eating steak and eggs every morning. I just realized like, oh man, I want to be able to be around for these beauties. Mm-hmm. And I'll more than just be there. Like I want to be able to move and interact with them and their future kids. So I might need to make some small changes here. That's where it started.
I think that one of the biggest tips that we could give anybody listening is that to stop comparing ourselves and our lives to someone who's in a different phase of life than we are, right? So like, and more than that, like find, you know, on the positive side of that, find somebody who is in the same phase of life as you, maybe with young kids, who seems to be taking care of themselves already and ask them how they're doing it. You know, I can think of some guys that, you know, mutual clients of ours that have worked together that I know have really young kids that are still intentionally taking care of their bodies. And, you know, earlier in their marriages and they're intentional about it. There are people just like you, the listener, in the same phase of life as you, the listener, who maybe has this figured out a little bit differently than you that could give you some advice about how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, looking towards mentors who are older than you, who have been through it, but that requires a conversation and like humility to ask, don't just compare.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the comparison just goes straight to, well, I can't do it.
What suggestions do you have for guys that want to start, maybe don't know where to start?
I think the biggest thing is awareness. So it goes back to that log. Like, let's figure out what you're actually doing right now with your time and figure out where you can fit this in. Can you fit it in 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week? Can you be bold enough to do what we do in our house now, which is it's not perfect, again, back to this imperfect action, but during the week, we really don't want the TV on in our house.
Yeah.
You know, we found, I believe I shared this in one of the previous recordings, but we found that our son, when my wife and I had the TV on, even if we weren't necessarily watching it very closely, when he would come home, if the TV was on, he'd just go up to his room because he didn't want to interrupt us watching the TV. But if we had the TV off, he'd sit down and talk with us. I mean, we went from 2 minutes of time with him a day to an hour of him hanging out with us and just talking. And, you know, or he might still be messing around his social media a little bit and showing us some stuff and laughing and joking and whatever, but he's
That's still interaction.
It's way different interaction than just being upstairs in his room, So, you know, part of it, to back to the advice piece, is one, create awareness to figure out where time is being wasted, because it's probably being wasted somewhere. I mean, let's just be honest. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean we have to be like on all the time. Like, I'm keenly aware of that. I need to rest and relax, right? So some of that time while I'm consciously awake needs to be resting and restorative as well. So maybe television is that, but do you need 3 hours of it, right? The answer, of course, to that is no, you don't. You need maybe 30 minutes or whatever, right? One episode. But get that awareness, and then from there, create the plan that you can, you know, what can you get rid of from a time perspective that's being wasted, and instead put that intentional piece into it. And that could go for anything, not just fitness, right? It can go for the finances, looking at the budget. It could go for the family, making sure that you're spending time with your kids. Right. You know, I know you have daddy-daughter date things. My son and I have breakfast almost every Saturday morning, so there's intentionality around that.
Yep.
You know that I have a date night with my wife every single week. And if it doesn't work, like normally it's on Saturday, but both of us are gone this Saturday, so we moved it to Thursday. Like it happens, and we just have to be willing to juggle things in around to make it work. But the intentionality comes because we're aware of where time is and what's being wasted and what's important.
Yeah. Yeah. How has accountability for you changed throughout the years? Because right now you were talking about a coach.
Yes.
In your life right now. What about 10 years ago? What about 20 years ago? How have you successfully leveraged accountability? What has that looked like for you, specifically in your fitness and health journey?
Interesting that it comes along that way. So there's not been a whole lot. I'm a pretty driven guy, so I don't have a whole lot of, I don't know that I've actually, I maybe had a personal trainer for 6 months in my entire life where there was some accountability to it, and it was there. So I helped myself pretty accountable to that already, but it became easier over time because of the feeling, right? To the point where now it's like, I know that it makes me feel better. Yeah. You know, I think too, that's important is, so I'll be 47 this year. I'm in the best shape of my life right now. And that's because of the journey, right? So like, that's the other thing too. I haven't always been the way that I am right now, not even close. So, you know, I was super scrawny and had a belly when I was younger. There's no doubt about that. So
you were skinny fat.
Skinny fat. Exactly. that's exactly right. So that's, you know, I think that's important to understand too. Like the journey that I'm on is one that some might be excusing as, or saying as an excuse, like they just aren't that way. I'm in the best shape of my life right now. So like that I have been. So like, that's pretty cool, I think. Because it wasn't like I was like this when I was younger and let it go for a while and then came back. It's not that at all. Like where I'm at right now has been a trajectory for sure.
Wow.
So I think that's important. But to your question was the accountability perspective of it. It was self-accountability and a little bit of vanity on the front end. There's no doubt about that. But it morphed into understanding that it just makes me feel better, like we had talked about earlier, that's all I need to be accountable. Now, that I'm weird in that way. I'm weird in a lot of ways, actually. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs are too, right? Like it's part of it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there are so many people that can come alongside you, or that you could hire as a personal trainer, whatever, like whatever that is. But you also have to find the one that's gonna like call you out on your crap, right? See, some personal trainers are just like, oh, haha, whatever. You know, like you didn't do your thing this week, and whatever, we'll do it this way. No. Like, usually as guys, we need people to be a little bit more harsh than that.
Yep.
So really interview that personal trainer. Like, what are you going to do to hold me accountable? But also, let's be real. Got to be a man. We got to be the guy that we were created to be by God and just do what we know we're supposed to do without having somebody else screaming in our ear the whole time too.
Right. Yeah. I agree with you. I've never had an accountability partner in my health and fitness. Never had a coach, but I've always had a why.
Yes.
I've always had a really strong, Claire will even ask me like, oh, you're going to do it. You're going to work out today. And right now I'm training for a really ridiculous, stupid, out of your mind workout, called a Murph. And, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And afterwards she'll ask me like, how was it? I'll be like, it sucked.
Yes.
There was no point did I enjoy it, except right now I'm done.
Yep.
You know, That last mile with a 20-pound vest like feels like a death march, and I don't want to do it. And then I do it, and afterward I'm so freaking glad that I did it.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, you got like feather in your step for the rest of the day too, because everything is easier because you did that. Because
the day will not throw anything at me that sucked as bad as what I just threw at myself.
Right.
Right? Like that, and that's a weird place to go mentally, but I think you and I are a little bit wired that way. All I'm saying is, anybody listening, like, find your why. Like, you don't have to pick the high intensity stuff. You don't have to go to the gym twice a day. You don't have to ever try a Murph in your life. That's fine. That's mm-hmm. fine. But like, if you want to be a healthy man who looks good for his wife and who's strong for his children and who can wrestle around with his future grandchildren and help carry groceries well into his 80s and 90s,
right,
then start by maybe walking the dog every day. Start by maybe while you're watching Netflix, I don't know, get on the floor and do some push-ups. Okay, every Netflix show I watch, I have to do X number of push-ups. I know guys who do it that way. And then it's like, oh, that's kind of a cheat code. I like that.
Yep.
Like, respect, because you're winding down at the end of the day. You're getting to watch some funny show that you like, but you're on the floor doing push-ups while being entertained. Like, good for you.
Yeah.
That looks a lot different than what you and I do.
Than sitting on the couch with a bowl of potato but
I have
chips.
I have a ton of respect for guys right. who will find ways to know their why, hold it in front of them, mm-hmm. and do the work even when they don't feel like it,
yeah.
and maybe get creative with it, like I just elaborated on. I mean, that's awesome.
I love that. You know, one thing you mentioned, walking, and I think it's important to call that out. That's not something that I am very good at. That's part of the reason why I probably spend more time in the gym than I yeah. probably need to. Walking is proven. It takes time, and it's, you know, we live in a state where it's a little cold.
Yeah.
But it's proven to be one of the best physical activities, walking, not running, because it doesn't necessarily initiate aerobic or anaerobic use exclusively. It works both of them. So a lot of times you're keeping, there's people that are way more smart in this than I am, but it basically what it does is it doesn't get your body burning its sugar stores quite as fast as what like a run would do. And at the same time, it also will get you when you're burning no fat when you're running. That's for sure. It's sugar, you know, the glycogen, I think is what it's technically called. Right.
Yeah.
But when you're walking, those things might be reserved, whereas the fat changes a little bit, you know, it's burned that way. So it's actually what I'm getting at is if you were to research this and talk to somebody smarter than me about it by a lot, you'd find out that walking is actually super healthy just in and of itself. Like, if that's all you want to do to get started, back to your question from a while ago about what to do, walk.
Yes.
30 minutes a day.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of guys, they get overwhelmed with like the gym membership. I don't know how to lift. I've never lifted weights. Lifting heavy scares, you know, stuff like, I'm not going to go run 5 miles. That's fine. Like, what you're saying is just get out in the fresh air and walk.
Do it.
And that's actually, I think, one of the best ways to combat the decreasing testosterone that we're seeing over the last 20 some years in men in our culture for a number of different reasons. I think microplastics is one reason. I think a sedentary life is another reason. And there's probably 4 or 5 other reasons, but getting outside and walking has shown statistically to help improve, for guys specifically I'm talking to, your levels of testosterone and maintain them.
Right.
So get those steps in. Guys who get this, I forget what the minimum is. It might be 10,000, 8,000, something like that. You get that minimum amount of steps in a day, you'll be healthier in many other ways, but also testosterone.
Yep.
You want to talk about the fight for healthy masculinity right there. Go on a walk.
Right.
Just
do a walk. You know, you mentioned the guys doing push-ups, watching Netflix as a creative way to do it. Well, you can get creative with the walk too, right? Take your kids, take your wife. You can get a lot more done than just the exercise at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The after-dinner walk, especially in the summertime. That's something I've loved with my family too. So, yeah, it doesn't always have to be the high-intense stuff, right? That's interesting. Okay, well, let's bring it home. Closing. You got a couple great questions here, Michael. What's one simple action step a dad listening today can take to start honoring God with his health? And where can people follow you, reach out if they want to learn more? Why don't you end the show with some of those thoughts?
Got it. So yeah, in the case of a dad listening to start honoring, like we've talked a lot about that already. I think just in getting an idea of what the plan is, right? What's the time? What time is being used improperly? start filling that with the proper things to get that physical fitness in. Yeah. And, you know, of course, that also assumes that there's a Bible study, that there's time with other guys, so you're building the brotherhood, all the things that we've, you know, that you've talked about on this podcast, talked about in other areas, being aware of that and just getting started. When it comes specifically to fitness, though, like if you're at ground zero and there's nothing being done, the walk would be the first thing to do. Find time for the 30-minute walk, right? Simple as that.
Yeah.
It would be that easy.
Yeah.
And then as far as people reaching out, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, if you Google my name, Michael Creed, and the word mortgage, you'll find me in a heartbeat. It's easy. If you leave off the word mortgage, you'll find Irish politicians and cyclists and other people that way. But with the word mortgage, my Instagram is Michael the Mortgage Guy with a underscore between each of the words. So that's an easy one to find.
Yeah,
too.
And I would encourage guys, if you're on Instagram, if you're not, don't worry about it.
Yep,
actually,
yep.
Bless you. Maybe yes. Stay off of it. But if you are on it and you're looking for value, follow Michael on Instagram, because he doesn't just talk about mortgage and houses and finances. You share a lot of your life on there.
Yep.
So a great example of, you know, fatherhood, healthy marriage, fitness and health and exercise. I just love, you know, you're sharing your stories, you're sharing your reels that talk about kind of all of life, faith,
yep,
and things like that. So it's a good motivator and a reminder for any guys that are on Instagram. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show today, man. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate you too.
All right, we'll talk again soon, man.